Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1796. The topic is Q&A and the title is, How Should I Warm Up Before a Max Effort Lift? Great question. One of my clients is struggling with a transition that we're going through in their programming, and this concept came up. Their specific question was, why when I have less reps during my warm-ups, do I feel less prepared? Great question. So this client has a CrossFit background. We started working together to focus on strength to protect against a hip issue that they were having. They were having pain in their outer hip to the point where they were considering having to give up CrossFit, which is crazy because it's a big part of their life. They're a coach. This is how they make their living. So it was a big deal. So we started working together for strength. We thankfully have fixed that injury. There's no issues there. We want to prevent new injuries, and we're working to improve overall CrossFit performance, and it's been going very well. One of the things that increasing strength can do for CrossFit athletes is it can help you lift heavier things for more reps, which then allows you to lift lighter things for more reps. And it can really help bring people up if they're not able to RX CrossFit workouts, then you just got to get stronger. And then even if you can RX CrossFit workouts, continuing to get stronger to some point, there is a point where the trade-off isn't worth it anymore, but continuing to get stronger can help. And then you want to, once you have a great base of strength, start to extend that base and try to just get used to moving heavier things for more reps rather than just trying to continue to focus on a heavier thing. There is eventually a point where strong enough is strong enough for CrossFit, and then you just want to work on trying to expand that strength to fill up volume. Now, for this client, we've recently transitioned from a phase like building the base, getting in a ton of volume work where we're trying to just strengthen the legs because we're working specifically on squat and deadlift. We're trying to strengthen the legs, get her used to doing a lot of work, a lot of volume, and work on perfecting technique. There's always just little things here and there to work on in technique, so we want to provide ourselves time for that in between phases where we're testing the lifts. So we had a phase where we were building the base, and we're now moving into a peaking phase for her deadlift. Part of the peaking phase involves lowering the volume of exercises and training stuff before she deadlifts. So in the building phase, we used pre-exhaust as a way to structure the workouts. So she had a lot of work, a lot of things. She was doing maximal effort stuff in movements that were related to deadlifts before she would get to deadlifts. One example is safety squat bar box squats. Great on working the legs, great on working on torso positional control, coming especially out of the bottom of the squat. So it was great. We did max effort crazy things with safety squat bar box squats, and now we want to try to drop that off. But the reason of having it in the first place, like during the building phase, was the purpose was to focus on building leg strength, upper body bracing strength, and then when we got to deadlifts, she was already physically weakened from those lifts, from the pre-exhaust. And that's actually ideally what we want. So we could work on what felt like maximal effort technique, but at lighter weights, because she was already weak. She was already weakened in the workout. The lighter weights allowed us to use greater volume of repetitions, which allowed us for a greater amount of practice. And it allowed for more safety leeway when technique was maybe a little variable here or there. You could have a bad rep and get away with it. So pre-exhaust was extremely helpful during the building phase. Absolutely love it. I do it with all my clients to some degree. I have people who elite totals, international elite totals, very accomplished. And we do this all the time. So then when we are transitioning into a peaking phase, that requires that we either quickly bring down or slowly bring down that pre-exhausted efforts. Now, one aspect that she's feeling in her workouts is a sense of feeling less prepared for the deadlifts than what she felt during the building phase. Part of the pre-exhaust work was you get to kind of work through the kinks, meaning as you're kind of moving through bigger, heavier movements, your mobility, your muscular balances, tightnesses, like balance out. So your movement quality actually kind of improves. Now, this is because we're maintaining perfect technique. I watch video reviews and give her reviews every single week on how we're doing with technique. We're super crisp with technique. So she's moving through full ranges of motion and proper movement patterns. So part of the pre-exhaust is it kind of warms you up and it opens up like mobility for the remaining workout. Another aspect of pre-exhaust is by the time she was getting to her deadlifts, her endorphins and adrenaline were already sky high. Endorphins are natural painkillers. Adrenaline is natural aggression and focus. Now, when we're under stress, we get that fight or flight type feeling. Our body increases endorphins and adrenaline. She was getting the fight or flight feeling before deadlifts by doing the max effort pre-exhaust work. And that was already pumping up her endorphins and her adrenaline. So she was already having those sky high before she would even warm up for the deadlift. So it was like an emotional support. It was like an emotional hug in the sense that she felt fully ready, fully excited. I'm all the way there, mentally and physically prepared, before I even start my warm-ups for deadlifts. So she was used to that feeling. A lot of people will have a similar feeling if they work out fasted or underfed and with high caffeine. If you train underfed and or with high amounts of caffeine, what you'll find is you tend to feel better in your workouts towards the end of your workouts. And part of that reason is you are relying on the high of endorphins and adrenaline to feel good because you haven't eaten well and you just shoved a bunch of drugs in your face, the caffeine, so that just takes time to work. So you don't tend to feel better until the second half of the workout. So if that is something you're feeling is, man, I don't even feel good until the second half, and then I have to be done. So it's like, man, if I could just keep going. Well, we actually want to be prepared earlier in the workout. And that does require that we're fed with sufficient energy nutrients, and it requires that you had good sleep. Now, most people struggle to eat well. Most people struggle to sleep well. So it makes sense then, if they aren't prioritizing those elements, that they're going to use the band-aids of just working out fasted, throw a bunch of caffeine in your face. But unfortunately, that means you are going to rely on and need endorphins and adrenaline to feel ready. So if you want to be ready earlier in your workouts, you have to eat better and you have to sleep better. And that's going to help you have better focus, and you won't need the adrenaline and endorphins as much to quote-unquote feel ready. So, to feel warmed up faster and to feel more mentally prepared for the workouts faster, you want to eat ahead of time and you want to prioritize better sleep. To learn more about prioritizing better sleep, you can listen to podcast 1149. It's a mindset podcast titled Creating a Healthier Sleep Pattern. The other component of feeling properly warmed up for max effort lifts is that everyone's a little different. To some degree, different people feel better with more or less warm-ups. It's not a matter of, you know, who's right or wrong or what's good or bad. It's just different per person. So when I have powerlifting clients or competition, like strength-based clients, there are some people they love to be busy. Especially, you know, powerlifting before squats, the first, you know, lift of the day. They have to be busy. They need, like, bodyweight mobility movements. They want more warm-up sets, more warm-up reps. They're kind of talkative. They have that nervous energy that they want to use up so it doesn't get in their mind and make them start to doubt or question themselves. And then I have other clients that are quiet. They would prefer that people don't talk to them. They do very minimal, if any, prep work. I have to usually just force them to do one or two things. And they do minimal prep reps per set. We actually just warm up with singles. And they're freaking ready to go like when they walk through the door. So some people have nervous energy. They have to burn that off. Some people are just quiet. They're very internal. And they don't have to do much. And they're just already fired up. Like their CNS is already ready to go. Like they walk through the door already in fight or flight mode. And they chose fight. And the nervous energy people are more like the flight people that can't run away. So they're trying to figure out how to deal with their body's response of trying to run away from it. So there are those natural differences. And what's kind of funny is when it comes to our workouts, everyone is the same in that everyone is different. So what I would suggest to feel properly warmed up for max effort lifts is to address movement preparation We have podcast 1112, so 1112, is a training podcast titled The Best Warm-Up Routine. Definitely listen to that. You can find all of our podcasts on our website, www.brittleirongym.com. But the best warm-up routine will address shoulder mobility and thoracic positioning, so upper back kind of posture. It's going to address core, kind of activating and getting your mind-muscle connection developed with the core so you're properly braced. And then it's going to work on hip and lower body mobility, just making sure everything's loose and grooved and ready to go. The idea is you want to even out your muscular tensions. When you come into the gym or when you go to the competition, you might have been sitting for a while, you might have been standing for a while, you might have been in a singular position for a long time. Your muscles have tightened and adapted to holding you into that position. We want to loosen them all up. We want to get everything moving. One of the things I think of is like a puppet with strings. Is if I have a puppet and some of the strings are shortened, like tied in knots and some are not, the puppet's going to move crooked. So we want to untie the strings to make sure everything's in an equal tension so the puppet, so us, our joints, our muscles, can move evenly. That's a proper warm-up, is to make sure the joints and the muscles connected to the joints are all moving evenly. Then, others may benefit from adding CNS, central nervous system, excitatory elements. What this means is stuff that just like wakes you up. It's like a slap in the face, but not getting slapped in the face. We want to slap your nervous system, not your face. The idea of this could be, you know, like box jumps before deadlifts, maybe bounds before squats. You can even do heavy walkout holds. So I might have somebody, you know, after each warm-up set, they throw a 45 on each side, and they unrack the bar and just stand for 5 seconds. So they do the bar, and it depends on strength. Like, let's say somebody's working up to a 315 squat. We might do the bar for a few reps, 95 pounds for a few reps, 135 pounds for a few reps. Then I might have them move to, let's just say, 165. They might do it for a single. Then we throw a 45 on each side, so it's now 255. They pick that up. They stand for 5 seconds. They rack it. Then we move their next warm-up from 165 to 195. We do a single. Then we throw a 45 on each side, and now it's 285. And they stand up, hold for 5 seconds, put it back down. The next warm-up might be 225. They do that for a single. Then we put the plates back on the outside. They now have to pick up, 405. So they have to pick that up and hold that for 5 seconds. Now you're seeing that, like, I think I might have messed those numbers up. But after their top-end warm-up sets, you just throw on a 45 on each side, which is 90 pounds more, and you have to pick that up and hold it for 5 seconds. What ends up happening is, if their first attempt is going to be at 315, they might have picked up and had to hold 365 to 405, somewhere in there, and that's going to really wake them up because that's so damn heavy, but we're not doing any eccentric movement. We're not even walking. We're just literally standing up with it on our back and then putting it back down. So it's only going to be like an inch out of the J-cups. But squat walkout holds, you can look that up on YouTube. We don't even do the walkout sometimes with certain clients. I like to just make them pick it up and put it back down. But the idea is you're waking up the CNS. You're waking up that fight or flight. You need to get the endorphins and adrenaline going. You have to get the person feeling like, oh my gosh, this is really going to happen. Oh, I have to actually dive into this. I have to get fired up. I have to, you know, you got to get them charged, get them ready. And that can be, like we said, box jumps. That can be bounds. That can be squat walkout holds. You might do isometric pulls on deadlift. You can also do speed pulls if you have access to bands. For bench press, you can do banded warm-ups. You can do lockout holds. There's a lot of things you can do for CNS excitatory elements. But some people, after the general movement prep warm-up, what we explain in podcast 1112, they might need those extra elements. So they might need that CNS excitatory elements. And that's what I'm going to do with this client, is I'm going to give them some ideas. We can do box jumps. We can do yoke carries because they have access to a yoke. You can just do some other odds and ends. Is we're going to do some excitatory elements. So they've been used to doing the box jumps. I mean, the safety squat bar box squats. They've been used to doing that as a way to produce adrenaline and endorphins. But unfortunately, in the now case, is the box squats would have created eccentric damage that would have caused muscle damage, and that would decrease their performance in the deadlifts. Ideally, we wanted that in the previous phase. In this phase, we're peaking the deadlifts. We don't want muscle damage. We don't want eccentric loading before the deadlifts. So we have to do non-eccentric loading excitatory elements. And I'm going to add that to their programming, and that's going to definitely help. So the idea is that you want something that excites the nervous system, makes you feel explosive, but doesn't cause muscle damage. You want minimal to absolutely no eccentric loading. So, how to feel properly warmed up without hindering performance for max effort lifts. Sleep and eat. You have to be properly fueled. You have to be properly rested. That makes sure your CNS is, you know, fired up. It's ready to go. It's fully fresh. Everything is good. So sleep and eat, absolutely important. Second thing is to ensure quality movement patterns. And that's what we teach in that podcast 1112 that I mentioned. The third thing is, if you want more of a warm-up past that movement prep, is to use CNS excitatory elements, such as bounds, box jumps, isometric pulls, walkout holds for squats, lockout holds for bench press. But you want excitatory elements, and you want to minimize eccentric loading. You don't want to cause muscle tissue damage doing those CNS excitatory elements. Okay, what you want to think of is you do not need to feel fully ready before you start your warm-ups. This is going to be scary. If you're used to having adrenaline and endorphins peaked before you get into your max effort lift, you may be overdoing your warm-up and hindering your performance. So try these elements. Sleep and eat. We talked about how to do that better. Ensure high quality movement patterns. Make sure your body's ready to move evenly and equally. Then get your CNS excited with minimal to no eccentric loading elements, and then get into it. Let your endorphins and adrenaline build up during the warm-ups of the max effort lift. They don't have to be sky high and ready to go before you even start your warm-up. Let those last couple heavy warm-ups be the thing that kicks off your fight or flight, that kind of gets you into that mode to where you're ready to attack those top-end working sets. Okay? So this is something you're going to need to play with. Everybody's a little bit different. Everybody needs sleep and eat, like sleep and food, so do that. And then everybody needs to do that movement pathway stuff that we talked about in podcast 1112, so do that. And then you can play with how much CNS excitatory elements you may need, and then where do your endorphins and adrenaline need to be before you start your warm-ups, so that way you feel peaked and ready and your max effort sets, but you're not worn out before you get there. Okay, I thought that was helpful. I love that kind of conversation. If anybody has any follow-up questions, just email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you want any help with programming so I can help you do this kind of stuff, you can learn about our programming supports and services that we have on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. Okay, well, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.